Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bradfo Show. That's my open. That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hits Bradford. That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion. Bradfo Show.
That's delicious.
11:25, Gresh and Keefe. Hart is in for Keefe. We are here at Patriots training camp. The team portion of practice underway in terms of everybody matching up ones versus ones and twos versus twos. But it's time for the midweek clubhouse report with our friend Rob Bradford. He is brought to us by McFarland Energy, Greater Boston, and Cape Cod's choice for dependable heating and cooling solutions at McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradfo, it's Gresh and Hart. Good morning, friend. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. So much testosterone flying around everywhere. It's crazy. I feel it all the way here. Let's go.
Well, we can't match Tommy Pham. And by the way, thanks for nothing on that. At least Will Fleming said that he's Big Billy Badass, and he wasn't afraid of Tommy Pham to
Did Will Fleming go up to Tommy Pham and ask him about fantasy football?
He told us that he was going to and that we could ask him about it on Friday. That's what he told us last week. Now, right. Keith and I have also punted on this because apparently one of your high schoolers, up from the junior high schoolers, one of the high schoolers, the part of the Bradfo show sort of posse, figured out on WEEI.com and talked to Eric Hosmer about this.
That was actually me.
It was you.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. No. So you were the one that broke the story. I did go through it. I saw those quotes, and then you mentioned somebody from Barstool in there. I got no idea what's going on.
So Eric Hosmer is in that league, in the Tommy Pham league.
Yes.
That Mike Trout was the commissioner of. And Coop, our guy Coop, the straw that stirs the drink that you're talking about, he was the one who asked Mike Trout at the All-Star game about it and got a viral answer. But I asked Hosmer about, you know, being in that league, and he said he was in the championship game going against Bregman. But the league is running much smoother now that you have Steve Chia from Barstool running it. So there you go. That's everything you need to know about that league. I'll believe it. If Will Fleming goes up and asks Tommy Pham about fantasy football, then I give him all the credit in the world. But if he does not, then I want an apology from all involved.
All right, we'll consider that.
Wow. No, thank you.
This is quite a soap opera.
I said we'll consider it. You know, under advisement.
I ask Eric Hosmer about it, and he is the locker right next to Tommy Pham. That's as close as you're going to get. So my apologies.
All right, well done. You took us into the Red Sox clubhouse as well, and I guess when you get good starting pitching, Bradfo, you can go on a run of winning four or five games.
It's a miracle. It's science. It's science. If you get good starting pitching, that you might be really, really good. And so they were the worst in Major League Baseball in the month of July in starting pitching, and in the last week they've been the best, and they've been really good. But this comes down to is not complicated. If you don't win against Pittsburgh, you have no hope. If you beat Pittsburgh like you're supposed to, then you might have a little hope. But Pivetta took care of business. He's been pitching well. You have some of these other guys pitching well. And they did it against the Yankees, too. It wasn't just against the Pirates. So there is some hope. The starting pitching is doing that, even without Chris Sale. So, yes. So they're hanging on, fellas. They're hanging on.
Rob, when we passed in the night or the afternoon at Fenway Park on Sunday, you told me must-win game against the Yankees. Mm. They won it, and now they're taking care of business for now against the Pirates. So should I start to believe? Because I feel like I've been snookered and suckered by this team a number of times over the last month or 2 months. Should I start to have any reason for hope, or is it just too little too late?
No, I don't think that they've earned the benefit of doubt to have that hope that you're talking about, because they're four back. They're four back with a bunch of teams in front of them. Now, if you go out and sweep the Pirates and you come out of that series a little bit closer to the Orioles and company, and then you take care of business against the Orioles, then maybe. But this isn't complicated. This team, this Red Sox team, as currently constituted, where they are in the standings, has to go on an insane run, has to go get on a really, really good hot streak. I mean, I'm talking about like a 7 or 8 game in a row hot streak at some point to get back into the conversation you're talking about.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com talking Red Sox in the Midweek Clubhouse Report here with Gresh and Keefe. Andy Hart is in for Keefe. How is this team now that they've kind of, Rob, gotten past the break? You've got Hosmer in. You've got Tommy Pham, who's done a pretty good job. I mean, it's crazy what a real major league outfielder looks like, even though he may not be the greatest player in the world. It feels like overall this team is better. The first base position has kind of calmed down. But I know for a period of time, Rob, they were kind of slow singing and flower bringing a little bit, like they were hanging their heads. Do you think this team has kind of come out of that sort of mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that hanging your heads, they were hanging their heads, a couple guys were, but that doesn't make any difference. It shouldn't make any difference. What it should make a difference is getting a bullpen arm. You didn't replace Jake Diekman in that Kansas City series. You had to bring in Darwin's and Hernandez. That backfired. So it's about being able to function. It's about being able to play well. I mean, they won last night without Xander Bogaerts. So they were able to pick up the slack in that respect. But, when it comes to Pham and Hosmer, you give Heim Bloom a lot of credit for that, right? But I thought Pham's comments to Alex Speer was pretty damning, which was, this is Pham talking. Why didn't you do this sooner? Heim, why didn't you do this sooner? I wanted to come there. Why didn't you do this sooner? And whether that was signing him in the offseason or making a trade for him sooner than they did, like, this is the narrative that continues. Yeah, sure, you made the moves, but you probably should have made moves before this happened, and we're kind of seeing that now.
Rob, what did you make of Matt Barnes' performance last night? And assuming they kind of get back into something here or stay competitive, what do you think the upside of Barnes is down the stretch?
Well, that Barnes is – there's upside. That Barnes was, okay, you can actually roll him out there and feel like you can put him in a high-leverage situation. It's interesting, though, because Barnes told me when he went away, when he had this whatever injury or whatever it was, they basically broke him down for about a month. I mean, broke down everything there is to break down and rebuild him back up, which, as he points out, in a major league season, you never get a chance to do that. And I think that they've come across something. They did this kind of in 2020 when Nick Pivetta was traded. So where you've landed with this guy is A, good, and B, really important, because if you're going to do this every other day thing with Schreiber and Whitlock, you're going to need Brazier and Barnes and Salamura actually to be good.
Bradfo, when you look at the kind of the back end of the bullpen, I know there was Houck, there's Whitlock, da-da-da. Are we getting more clarity that Whitlock just needs to be on the very, very back end of the bullpen, dotting the back end, and let's be done with this? Like, I know we've gone back and forth, and it's a name that you and me and Keith have talked about a lot, but, man, he just feels like somebody that is made for the back end of a bullpen. Am I missing something here?
No.
Please tell me they're closer to realizing that's the role that this guy needs to be in.
Tricky stats would suggest that you are correct. I mean, let's lean on the facts and the figures. And I mean, he's been really good every time he's been in the bullpen when he's been healthy. Now, he'll obviously be in the bullpen for the rest of the year. I think that they'll try to integrate him into the starting rotation once again next year. And, you know, depending on what you get at the bullpen, that can be a good move, that can be a bad move. I can't be a hypocrite. Like, I look at the guy and I say, if you get ample time to amp things up and you can prepare him, that guy, as good as he is, I would love to see him as a top-of-the-rotation starter. And I'm not talking about how they did it this year. I'm talking about from the get-go. I think that that's still the plan for next year. But this year, I mean, this is another thing in hindsight that they screwed up. They absolutely screwed it up of throwing him in the starting rotation when you should have just rode him out in the bullpen while your bullpen was taking on water.
Rob, I know you've done a lot of radio on the weekends and nights and various times. I'm sure you've addressed this, but I haven't heard you talk about it. I've heard others speculate that maybe the Chris Sale situation isn't quite on the up and up, including people on our own station. I'm just wondering, do you have any reason to believe that what's been reported, what we've been told, is not the full story?
No, I've said this before, that I don't have any reason to believe that, and I know that's the easy path to take. And I do think that he needs to talk to the media. I know that I put in for a request for him, and you know, he might talk in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I think that's an important part of this because of things that lead to exactly what you're talking about. But at the same time, I talked to somebody who saw him, you know, 10 minutes before it happened, and the guy was riding a bike. And so, you know, and so I'm pretty sure he was riding a bike, that he had been riding a bike. Is that the smart thing to do? No. And the other thing I'll come back to is, if you're trying to cover something up, like, falling off a bike is just as bad as a look as anything, isn't it? I mean, I feel it's pretty close to punching a wall.
Didn't do anything for our president.
No, exactly. I mean,
I never would have fallen off a bike. I know how to ride the two-wheelers. Another reason to put me in 2024.
And you know, I love a good power ranking. I mean, we're going to power rank the things that are bad.
Five best presidents on a bike.
It's not a great look. I mean, it's not a great look when you're injured to fall off your bike and to break your wrist. That's just I don't know. Once again, science. But yes, it's I think that so to answer your question, Andy, right now as we sit here, I'm not ready to take any leap that it wasn't falling off the bike.
Brad Foe, of Baltimore, Minnesota, and Chicago, are any one of those teams fool's gold? Like, are one of them about to come crashing down to earth and get out of the Red Sox way? Or are all three plucky enough to kind of hang around?
I think they're all plucky enough to hang around. Baltimore, it's sort of like, you know, I would have thought so, but they traded everybody, and they're still good, and they're still feeling good about themselves.
It's amazing, isn't
right?
it?
And, I mean, they got good pitching. You get good pitching, like, we'll come back to it. Usually that'll work out for you. So, and it only took them 10 years to get that good pitching. It's amazing. It's what a credit to them.
Well, they had a long-term plan.
Well, they certainly did. I mean, what other city would allow for the 10-year plan to fester? But I do think that the team, I've said this all along, the team that intrigues me, as long as their manager just doesn't continue to fall asleep, is the White Sox. I mean, that team is talented. Even without Tim Anderson, that team is talented. They have a really talented starting rotation. You have a lot of money in the bullpen. You know, you have enough offensively. And now I think they've won five in a row or something like that. So that's the team I would look out for.
The relationship between Alex Cora and Chaim Bloom has been a talking point, I guess, heading into the All-Star break, the trade deadline, coming out of it. Do you think those guys are on the same page for the here and the now? And I'm talking about whatever this run is they're trying to go on in August of 2022.
Has there been frustration? Absolutely. But in the here and the now, because Hosmer here is, because Pham's here. But when Alex Cora has to put Christian Arroyo out in right field, or bring in Darwin's and Hernandez, or, you know, go down the list of things that the sort of he's had to, like, plug the holes here. Like, that's a frustrating thing for any manager. And let's be honest, guys. You guys know this. If you're a manager or the coach, you don't want to have any semblance of a five-year plan. You don't want to have any semblance of, just wait, Marcelo Meyer will be really good in a few years. That's not how Alex Cora is wired. That's not how most managers are wired, especially when it comes to the city of Boston.
Well, I was just going to say, that's what they're doing in Pittsburgh, right, Rob? Like, it's like, wait till 2024.
Yeah,
boy,
Derek,
we're going to be
Derek,
really good. Yeah, that's Derek, what that market needs to do.
Right, but that's what Derek Shelton signed up for. I mean, when these guys
– yes.
When a guy like that is a manager there, he knows what the deal is, much like High does in Baltimore and all these. When you're the manager of the Red Sox, particularly when you have the core guys, the foundation guys that you have with this payroll, the sole expectation is to win. And we've said this before. If you want this whole – we just want it to be sustainable for years upon years upon years. Well, you're 0-for-1 right now. So you have to find a way to be competitive this year, next year, however that looks. But that's what you were promised. That's what Alex Cora was promised. So Chaim Bloom has to deliver.
So you started with you okayed my hesitancy to jump on board with the hope of the team right now. Is it fair for me to put a certain marker being that until you pass the Baltimore Orioles in the standings, I'm not going to take you seriously?
Well, yeah, this is the biggest series of our lifetime this weekend, right?
Right.
Which they're playing Williamsport Sunday. Who knew? And I think my guy Coop had a great question, and I want to pose it to you. If you had the choice to see a major league team play in Williamsport, and you had the choice of either playing with aluminum bats or playing on a little league field, which would you take?
Aluminum bats.
Both would, by the way, lead to death.
Yeah, so, but yeah, the little league field is guaranteed death, whereas the aluminum bats, at least I'm going to see some 500-foot home runs and some crazy exit velocities. Yeah, I'd go aluminum. Yeah. I like the question, though. That's my kind of question.
Well, Rob, I don't know if you saw the there's a Twitter handle out there that Keith found yesterday that if you took all of the big league players and the balls they've hit this year, but you did it with little league dimensions, I think, like, Marcus Semien would lead the league with, like, 150 home runs or something like that. Like, it was actually pretty cool to kind of retrofit all of that down. Do big league players pay attention to the Little League World Series? Like, you know, do they notice that some 12-year-old kid who's 6'1" from Wyoming is hitting missiles like 350
with leather
feet.
Work gloves
yeah,
on.
Yeah, leather work gloves on, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like anything. This is how we get our news now. If it passes through their Twitter feed, then they're going right. to see
well,
it.
There you go.
And then they're going to talk about it. I tell you what's taken off. It's, you know, much like, I don't know, Andy, if there's the football locker room is still a Domino's place. I remember everyone, not Domino's. Domino's.
It was that other
Greenwich.
Game. Yeah, Cribbage? No, it was the game with the triangles back and forth on the board with the little chips.
Yeah, is that cribbage? No.
Anyway, it's not.
So I'll tell you what's taken off in Major League clubhouses is opening baseball cards.
Really?
Like that's become a huge thing. So they basically say, hey, every, like, Brazier, all the relievers, they get around and say, hey, you guys want to open some packs? Okay. And then the other day they start freaking out, and I'm like, what's going on? He had got like a one in one or something.
It's one
like
of the, one.
One of one.
One of one, yep.
Like, it was a Bob Gibson signed card, which is $1,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
So this is what these guys are doing now. They're opening baseball cards, which I guess is like makes my heart full, well, sort of.
So, that's interesting. You know who else is into that? Is Gerard Mayo.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you guys have seen, they do the breaks, quote-unquote, where they break open packs and box online and, like, display it for, you know, live view it on whatever, Twitter or Instagram.
Sure.
Gerard Mayo takes part in some of those. He's into the card industry and the breaking of boxes.
Well,
and
Matt Strom's a guy. I mean, he has a YouTube channel devoted to that. But
nice.
I thought it was just going to be him. But, like, all these guys are doing it. So, this, again, we're bringing baseball back to our youth in so many ways.
Love it. Glorious. Do they chew the gum? Is there gum?
Nobody chews a gum. Are you kidding me? That gum is disgusting.
What do you do with it, though, then?
You throw it out. I don't even think there is gum. There hasn't been gum
for a few years.
Yeah,
I don't think so anymore either. Yeah. All right. Well, Rob Bradford at WEEI.com. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. He's with us each and every Wednesday for the Midweek Clubhouse Report. Bradford, thanks for the fun, frivolity, and information. We'll catch you next week, friend.
All right, guys. No fights down there. Let's go.
Nice. No, this is
our best.
Great game of football.
It's in the air, though. It's in the air.
Yeah, they're trying. Just like we're trying for the primetime parlay. We'll get to that next. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.